Going to, as I said, return to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, and perhaps it's a fairly short reading, so perhaps I'll just remind us what we read earlier. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So these are the fruits of wisdom. And last week we saw the happy state of man, which is found by wealth and worldly advancement. You may think that your life, and people do teach this, don't they, to their children. There seems to be a tendency in families always to get a better car than the one we had before, a bigger house, to educate the children so that they will do better than the parents. It's all about advancing people to a better state economically and a better status in society. And if you've done that, well, the parents have done their job. And we can say, yes, haven't the children done well, and there's a glory that reflects on the parents. But that's not the spiritual economy that we find here. It's not what makes a person truly happy. And we began last week to see that happiness is when a person has found wisdom and understanding, wisdom and knowledge in spiritual things. And we saw that wisdom, godly wisdom, has in her right hand this queen in heaven, as it were, in this picture. But really, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He has length of days to give. And the best way to understand that is not so much in the temporal, in other words, in this world. Some Christians do live till they're very old. There's no guarantee that a Christian will live a long life in this world, but there is a guarantee that a Christian will live forever in the next world. And so it's better to understand that as eternal life. So the Lord Jesus' wisdom, God's wisdom, is wisdom is with him. And also, he gives in his left hand, wisdom in her left hand, gives riches and honor. But again, not as the world knows riches and honor. And remember what the Lord Jesus himself said. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart. There your heart will your heart be also. We saw last week that the true experience of the believer is to enjoy peace in this life and heaven in the next. And this is true of riches. This is true riches and honor. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And the question is, can you enjoy life if you're not at peace? You're not at peace with yourself. You've got a guilty conscience. The only way so many people deal with a guilty conscience is they do it by hardening their hearts. And by their consciences becoming insensitive, and then they no longer feel guilty. But then if they don't feel guilty, they don't feel pleasure either, because their consciences simply have stopped serving them. And that isn't the route to true happiness, is it? Christianity is not as it was once. It was once put to me at a conference where I was asked to speak to give a presentation. So I've had a on religious liberty, and I spoke about the joy of being a Christian. And well, before I spoke about joy, this judge had said, "Oh well, it's all about it's all about just toil and misery now, and then joy in heaven." But that isn't that. That's how the world sees Christianity. It just sees one half. It sees what we give up. It doesn't see what we gain. The reason why we deny ourselves the pleasures of sin for this for a season, as Moses put it, as it was put about Moses, is because we see the true riches are not in indulging the flesh, but in having peace with God and having what He gives us. And often having peace with God might mean that we financially don't have what we used to have. And there'll be those who will fiddle their tax bills, for example. They know what they ought to pay, but they choose not to pay it. And there are so many ways that you can take shortcuts. You can claim for things you're not entitled to, but you can say, "Well, I really ought to be paid more anyway, so it won't make any difference." But when we cut corners and we do things we're not supposed to do, yes, we may make money out of it. We may be able to buy things with that money, but will it come with the peace of God? Better than the little that the righteous has. Much better to have less, have it with a clear conscience, than have all the riches of the world, but it being ill-gotten gains from wrong conduct. And so we see that wisdom's ways are so different. God's wisdom is so different to the world's, the way the world works. And he wrote this about wisdom's ways. "Is she a sullen matron who entertains her followers only on sighs and tears, rather like a teacher at school who just makes you miserable? But because you fear the teacher, you try and do what the teacher says, but you hate it. You're just trying to avoid getting in trouble. That's not a school you would enjoy going to, is it? But for the Christian, we simply deny ourselves things that we know will be bad for us. For example, may I suggest that if you, I don't know what you like. Do you like ice cream? Do you like chocolate? I mean, it's Easter Day today, isn't it? And I don't know, some of you might have been given lots of Easter eggs, but I know I did see somebody with two boxes. Oh no, that was somebody in Devon with two huge Easter eggs. Now, would you eat two huge Easter eggs at once? I don't think I would either, because I would feel very sick. And so the way to enjoy Easter eggs is to say, "I'm only going to have that much today, and I'll keep some for tomorrow." And that Easter egg suddenly tastes so much better, doesn't it? Because what you've done is it's a small illustration. You've denied yourself what you would like to do. You'd like to eat it all, but because you don't want to feel sick in eating it all, you just eat what's going to be good for you. And in the Christian life, it's exactly the same. There are things that if you do will be bad for you. They may seem on the surface attractive. Like eating three Easter eggs might seem attractive, but then you probably know from bitter experience that if you do, you'll feel very sick afterwards. Well, it's that with the things of this world, isn't it? If you consume the things of the world, all the things that you would like, your eyes would like to consume, you know that you will feel miserable afterwards, not least because so often they are sinful things. And it's breaking God's commands in order to have this temporary enjoyment, but knowing that it will come with a guilty conscience. But if you eat too much chocolate, it might come with a guilty conscience, but also you will be physically ill. There are some things that we can do in life where we might get away with it. We might not feel physically sick. We might not get into trouble with the authorities. In fact, I don't know if you know, there is the 11th commandment. Do you know what the 11th commandment the world's 11th commandment is, it's thou shalt not be caught. Because if you don't get caught, well, you don't have to pay for it, do you? So you can do what you like, not get caught. But there's a problem there, isn't there? You've still got a conscience. And even if you don't get caught by the teacher, don't get caught by your parents, don't get caught by whoever you're living with, well, that's okay, but you know God's seen it. And your conscience has registered it. You can't shake off that guilty conscience. So you're not happy doing it long term, are you? And so that's exactly the point about wisdom's ways, is that godly wisdom requires us not to do the things that are bad for us, even though they give us temporary enjoyment, because God knows what's best for us. And he knows that his peace is better than anything the world can give. And there's a verse that says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that's a strange thing to say, isn't it? Because meek people often are not the rich and the powerful. But what is the point of having everything that this world gives if you don't have the peace of God that your sins are forgiven? Well, there's a verse in Psalm 49 that deals with that. Let me just. Let me just turn there. It's really quite. I think I did actually mention it this morning. So this is what the rich think. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leaveth their wealth to others. Their inward thought, that's rich people's thought, is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Some people call where they live after their own names. They've got so much land and they're known by their land. So there'll be dukes, will be called the Duke of Somerset. Actually, I don't think the Duke of Somerset does own Somerset, actually. I think his seat is in Gloucestershire. But the idea is you're the Duke of part of the Duke of Cornwall will be own Cornwall, a lot of Cornwall, etc. So they call their lands after their names, or vice versa. They're identified with the land that they live in. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. So it's so foolish, isn't it? Because they live as if they're going to live forever. They think their lands are going to carry on. But they're just like everybody else, like sheep. They are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Isn't it so much better? Rather than be really rich and a princess, some of you might dream, I don't know, have you ever dreamed about marrying your fairy tale prince? And going off on a white charger, a white horse, and living in your fairy tale castle. But you know, one day you're going to die. And isn't it better to have, as it were, your fairy tale castle in heaven, which you will be given because you've believed on the Lord Jesus? Because the Lord Jesus says he's gone to prepare a place for you and me if we believed in him. And isn't it better to put up with deprivation? With giving things up here, not having everything that we want here, but we will have eternal treasures that last forever. That's the best thing to have, isn't it? And that's really what these verses are talking about. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Now, it goes on. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Now, there's a pleasantness in this life, again, which doesn't give you what you need. See, there's a man of pleasure, and all he does is and goes out and enjoys himself. But it won't last. There was a man who wrote books, and I hope If I can remember his name, I will tell you his name. If I can't remember his name, which is on the tip of my tongue, he, re that's right, Ernest Hemingway. And he was a man who loved his hunting, he loved adventure, and he wrote lots of books. But when he got old, he couldn't do the things he enjoyed anymore. And he ended up ending his life. Tragic. Because he was a man of pleasure, but he didn't have the true pleasure. If you've got true pleasure, you know that the best is yet to come. And you've already got used to giving up what's not good for you, because there's something better for you that's waiting. And there's something better for you that you can experience by giving up the things that seem attractive, but actually aren't on their own good for you. And so the way we find that true pleasure is by following the word and following the steps that the Lord leads us in. And of course, as we obey the Lord and do the things that he wants, you know, there is this word, isn't there? There is this verse in Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Have you been out at night and you don't know where you're going? And so you've got to, so you've asked for a torch. And when you put the torch on, then it shows you the way, doesn't it? And so you know where you're going and you're comfortable. You're not scared of tripping over something because you've got a torch to show you. But it's the same with the word of God. If we follow what the word of God says, then we're not going to trip over and harm ourselves. And we find that just literally by following the word of God, that in itself keeps us safe. And so, in a sense, doing the wise thing is has its own reward. We're kept out of trouble. We are warned. Moreover, by them, by the word of God, is thy servant warned. Warned, Psalm 19, verse 11 tells us. And in keeping of them, in keeping of the words of God, is there is great reward. So just doing the right thing, there's a reward from doing it. Did you know that? Have you experienced that? And then in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, we read, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Oh, to have a quiet conscience and to be at peace with God, with man, and not to be under the bondage of sin. You see, with the Lord Jesus, you're set free from that bondage of sin. Other people will say, oh, it's all about the things you can't do. But with the Lord Jesus, there is perfect freedom. He says in Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Walking with the Lord Jesus will be restful for you, and it's the only way to go. And you know where? Remember this, God has children, he doesn't have slaves. So you know what slaves are like? You can read about them in the Bible, because if you remember Pharaoh, you remember Pharaoh, he made the children of Israel his slaves, and he made them even make bricks without straw. Well, that's like being asked to paint a picture without paint. Could you do that? Could you paint a picture without paint? What would you do if you weren't given any paint? How would you make colors? You'd have to sort of prick your finger and let it bleed and use that, but then it changed, the blood changes color anyway, doesn't it? You'd be stuck. You're stuck, aren't you, if you haven't got any paint? That's what the people of children of Israel were made to do. And you see, they were prisoners, they were slaves, they were doing what they were told. But it's not like that for the Lord Jesus. He teaches us in a way that makes us want to do what he does. When we follow his ways, we find we're wanting to please him out of our love for him and our gratitude. Just like when you want to do things, you know, you can be told to do the washing up. You don't really want to do it, do you? Why should I do it? But then when you think of what your parents or the people you're living with have done for you and the kindness they've shown you, you think, actually, I do want to show them how grateful I am. And so I'll do it for that reason. And that's why we serve the Lord Jesus, because we're so grateful that he's paid for our sins. And we find in doing that that there's freedom and there is pleasure. That's true pleasure. And the paradox, the sort of the contradiction almost of the Christian life is that the trials of the Christian life, they're not inconsistent with their pleasantness. After all, just go back to the illustration of the washing up. Not many people like washing up. Do you like washing up? Do you like doing the, have you ever done the hoovering? Have you ever had to sweep the floor of all the dust and do other cleaning jobs? Not everybody enjoys doing that. But if you're doing them for someone you love, then actually the job's so much easier, isn't it? Because you know it's giving them pleasure, and somehow it gives you pleasure giving them pleasure. And there's a verse, the Lord, that is quoted by Paul. I think I may have mentioned it last week, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Have you found that? Again, going back to the Easter eggs, somebody shared their Easter eggs with me, and I did enjoy them, I must admit. And if you share your Easter eggs, you don't have as many yourself, do you? But do you find actually secretly afterwards, you think, actually, I quite liked being able to share them? It's more blessed, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when things go wrong because you are being a Christian and people are hate what you're doing and they try and shut you up and they try and make your life really unpleasant, that happened with the apostles. And what we read in Acts chapter 5, verse 41 is after they'd actually been imprisoned because they were preaching the gospel, they were telling people about the Lord Jesus, and they'd been beaten by the council. But when they left, they weren't depressed. We read this, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, we don't rejoice when we're counted worthy to be given detention at school and made to stay behind when everyone else goes home, are we? But if that was because we were saying, telling someone about the Lord Jesus, and we were saying, well, the Bible is true, it's not a fairy tale, and we got in trouble for that, and that would be a reason why we would actually rejoice that we've actually been counted worthy. In other words, the Lord Jesus has allowed us to share in his sufferings, and that's a good thing, and that would make us feel happy. But if we were to do it because we haven't done our homework, we got up late, we got to school late, and that's why we've been kept back from school, from going home and kept back at school, not so good, is it? And that doesn't come with any pleasure. But if you do it because you're suffering for your Christian faith, for doing the right thing, then there's actually pleasure in doing that. Did you know that? Pleasure in obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Pleasure in pleasing the Lord Jesus. So, and it's just true when Paul and Silas were in prison for their faith. And in the middle of the night, and they were chained up, Most people would be rather depressed, but they weren't. They were singing praises to God, so they would have been singing psalms, and they were rejoicing. So they were singing and praising God. And then a remarkable thing happened. All their chains came off, and they witnessed to the Philippian jailer, and he was converted with his family. And isn't it better to do things the Lord's way? Consider Hannah. She couldn't have a baby. And having a baby, there's you've had got children. Maybe you haven't got children, but you'd like to have your own children. And then you can't have children. But after many years, suddenly you become pregnant. And your dreams come true. But what Hannah did is this was the thing that she most wanted, the most treasured possession. She gave this boy to the Lord, and he was brought up in the temple and ended up being a judge of Israel. So what was he getting? So what this girl, this lady, this little girl given, this young lady given the thing that she most wanted in all the world, her baby, to serve the Lord. So she didn't have that pleasure of having to bring up, being able to bring up little Samuel. But the Lord is no man's debtor, and she had five more children. And so she gave up her most treasured possession, but she was given so much more by the Lord. And that is the economy. That's what happens when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't look at just what Christianity tells us to give up, but it's what we get in place of the things that we give up. Nehemiah spoke about the joy of the Lord being the strength of the people. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nothing like the joy of the Lord. It lasts, it doesn't disappear, and it's renewed every day. And just remember, consider the difference between the fruit of the Spirit, which we have listed in Galatians chapter 5, and all the works of the flesh. Let me just list them for us. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, that's not keeping faithful to your husband or wife; fornication, that is not reserving sex just for marriage; uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's lust; idolatry, that's worshipping things like football or makeup, jewelry, anything that you put in God's place; witchcraft, that's going for magic spells and other things that the Bible forbids; hatred, hating people and not loving them; variance, being argumentative; emulations, wrath, that's anger; strife, that's the same thing really; seditions, heresies, saying things which undermine society, saying things that deny the faith; envyings, when you envy what someone else has got, it doesn't make you feel good, does it? Murders, we're even being angry is murder in our hearts, according to the Bible; drunkenness, revelings, going out to late night parties, and such like. Those don't bring happiness. They don't bring lasting happiness. But listen to the list that does. But the fruit of the Spirit, so if you give those things up, this is what you get in return as a Christian. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the things that we want to have in our hearts, don't we? That's what's going to make us happy. Not all those other bad things I listed. And that against such things, there is no law. It's only freedom and joy in the Lord when you experience those things. But they only can be experienced when we deny the other. So we need to deny ourselves the things that are bad for us to enjoy the things that are good for us. There is really no choice between us. Well, we note in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17, that wisdom's ways are pleasantness and all her paths are peace. And that means that, whatever trials we go through, it doesn't matter because at the end, her paths are peace. So even if we find we lose our lives because of our faith, then we can't be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What we're told in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. So we must remember that wisdom's ways won't be attractive to those who do not know Christ because they only care about the things that are fleeting, the things that are temporary, the things that give them passing enjoyment. And so God's ways will never please them, but that's not the way of a Christian. You've been given an insight of the things that will bring true happiness and pleasure, and we must follow them. Well, it doesn't mean to say that Christians are always happy. Sometimes Christians don't seem to be very happy. And we have a duty, though, therefore, particularly if we tend not to be happy kinds of people, to be happy. And we find that we read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." We're to rejoice in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we have to make ourselves do that. So it's a good thing to sing a psalm. I don't know if you do that in the morning. I try to sing a psalm in the morning in my quiet time, and that helps me to rejoice. It lifts me up above my sort of perhaps worries and other things that take away pleasure. So it's a good thing to do that, to make ourselves. When we drive home now, I drive home and I'm given a lift, which is a great privilege. I'm very pleased to do it. We try and use the time, and we sing a psalm and we pray and we read the Bible and that. Don't know about the others in the car, but I find that makes me go to bed happier. So it's a good thing to do. It might take us a bit of try, might take us a bit of time and effort, but it's well spent. We're happy at the end of it. I hope we can all say that. And we can just do simple things. We don't have to pray for hours and hours. There's a simple little formula, isn't that? We can pray. If we're on our own, we pray for a few couple of minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, however long our prayer wants to be. Then we can sing a psalm to ourselves. Then we can read a portion of scripture, and then we can end with a prayer. And if you're with a friend, do that with a friend. And I can guarantee you'll find that your joy will be restored. And it's a special portion of God's people that in trouble, when they're in trouble because of their faith, then they find joy. And that there is a trial, isn't there, of our faith. And when our faith is tried, it is to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's an unspeakable joy for Christians. Isn't that a wonderful way? All her paths are peace, her ways are ways of pleasantness. That's a pleasantness of life, isn't it? To be full of unspeakable joy. Not waking up. Some do, feeling depressed. Perhaps they've over because they've indulged too much the night before. No, the Christian doesn't do that because the Christian knows what real lasting joys are. So is there anything that clouds our happiness? And usually if there is, it's because we have gone away from God's word. We've gone away from wisdom's paths, and we need to come back, as Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 tells us. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten us and he will bind us up. Then finally, as we come to a close, let us consider verse 18. She's a tree of life to them that wisdom is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. A tree of life. In other words, the source of life for us. Now, there was a time when when Adam and Eve, they lived by their life was sustained by the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. That tree would have kept them living on earth as long as they obeyed God. But that the entrance to that tree was barred by an angel when they sinned. So they were no longer able to eat from that tree of life. But now there is a better paradise opened up for us. We read about it in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Why is that a better? Why do you think that's a better way? Why is that a better tree to eat from, as it were? Well, the reason is this. Adam and Eve, as long as they ate, so as long as they obeyed God and kept his commands, then they carry on living in the Garden of Eden. But if they didn't, if they stopped doing it, they'd be out. But for us, now that we've believed, our salvation's secure. We're going to heaven, and we're going to be given our inheritance. There'll be no more possibility of us being thrown out of heaven, because we'll be given glorified bodies, and we'll be there forevermore, worshiping God. There's no possibility of not getting to our destination. For Adam and Eve, it wasn't like that, was it? As long as they obeyed God, they carried on eating of the tree of life. But for us, now we're born again, because this work is Christ's work in us, we are secure forever. That's a better way. That's a better tree, actually, isn't it? Because it's a tree that's planted in heaven, whose branches, as it were, hang down over the earth. And we're able to pluck its fruits. That's the tree of life. We see, we begin to eat now, but we'll eat fully when we are in heaven. That's the way Charles Bridges explained it. So beautiful, isn't it? Because I don't know, have you eaten, gone and eaten apples, picked them from a tree? Think about the spiritual fruits. They last much better, much longer. After you've eaten one or two apples, you might feel sick. And anyway, forget the taste of them. But not with this fruit. It's there with you forever. And so, friends, have we eaten of that fruit? Do we lay hold of those fruits? And this is what Song of Solomon says in chapter 2, verse 3, as an apple tree among the trees of a wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The fruit, what the Lord Jesus gives, is sweet to our taste, isn't it? And we need to take hold of it. We need to lay hold of this fruit. Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So we need to keep going. We need to not be looking back and regretting the things that have happened in the past, but we're to look forward. We're to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And so finally, we must do the following. Continue in the ways of the Lord. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Christianity is not about starting out so much as finishing the race. It's no good starting if you're not going to finish. So we are those who continue in God's word. And we're settled, rooted, and grounded. Colossians 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And then in chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And thirdly, keeping the works and holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, being there until the end, friends. It's the end we need to keep in sight. Revelation 2, verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And then Hebrews 3, verse 6, but Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Hebrews 3, verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The Christian's an overcomer because Christ has started that work in him. We have that lovely verse in Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Charles Bridges concludes as follows. We must remember that this description of wisdom's blessing is no fanciful picture, but divine reality. It's not a fairy tale, it's truth. We must not rest until our heart is filled with its substance. We must take it to the Lord in prayer that one day soon we may rejoice in our portion. So let's just finish off, because go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 16. Length of days in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Amen.